Welcome back to the deep dive. Our energy grids are growing incredibly complex, aren't they?
They really are.
We're integrating more and more renewables, dealing with new demand patterns, you know, from EVs, data centers.
Right, all sorts of new loads.
All while trying to keep the lights on reliably. It's a massive challenge. It needs constant innovation.
Absolutely.
But what if? What if there was like a single universal AI brain? A foundational intelligence that could understand, predict, and optimize the entire electric grid, basically in real time.
That would be something. A real game changer.
That would truly be a game changer. Okay, let's unpack this. Today, we're taking a deep dive into exactly that kind of idea, an ambitious, open source initiative called GridFM.
GridFM, right?
We've pulled together insights from a core report, some recent press releases, research papers, IBM Research, LF Energy, even the UN are involved.
Good source.
And our mission for you today is clear. We want to extract the most important nuggets of knowledge about GridFM. What is it? How does it actually work? And crucially, why it matters for you and, well, the future of electricity.
Exactly. What's fascinating here is GridFM is really trying to leverage the absolute latest in AI to tackle these grid problems. Problems that, frankly, are pushing our existing tools to their limits.
Right.
So we're giving you a shortcut today, getting you up to speed on this, focusing on the real impact.
Okay, so let's start with the what and the how. The core idea here is foundation models, FMs. Mm. You've probably heard about them, like with large language models, GPT, and things like that. They've really changed how we interact with info.
Totally changed the game. Yeah. Or like advanced weather modeling, maybe?
Or weather modeling, yeah, good analogy. The basic idea is FMs are these huge AI models trained on just massive data sets. And their real power, it comes from being able to adapt to a whole bunch of different tasks once they've learned the underlying patterns.
In GridFM, it takes that exact philosophy, that same approach, and points it straight at our power grids.
Okay.
So the idea isn't, you know, build a separate little AI for every single grid task. No, it's about one big model, pre-trained on incredibly diverse grid data, different network setups.
Yeah.
And once it have that sort of foundational understanding, then you can fine-tune it pretty efficiently for loads of specific jobs, grid operations, planning, control. Think of it like a master grid apprentice ready to specialize.
And one of the big selling points right off the bat seems to be significant computational speed up.
Oh, absolutely. Huge potential there.
So imagine GridFM's approximating these complex physics-based simulations like power flow or contingency analysis, but way, way faster than the traditional software.
We're talking near real-time analysis for things that are currently really slow. Computationally heavy.
Which, for you listening, means faster responses if there's a potential blackout, maybe, or quicker planning for integrating new solar or wind farms.
It's exactly. Faster insights, better decisions. And another really crucial part is GridFM's foundation in open collaboration and neutral governance. This isn't some black box from one company.
That's important.
It's open source, under the Linux Foundation's LF Energy umbrella. It actually started with Hydro-Québec and IBM.
Okay.
But they contributed it to LF Energy precisely to ensure it's neutrally governed, community-driven.
So everyone can chip in.
Pretty much. This whole open ethos is powerful. It reduces software costs for everyone, improves quality because more eyes are on it, and speeds up development. We've seen TSOs like EnergyNet in Denmark go big on open source, specifically to avoid getting locked into one vendor. GridFM follows that path.
That collaborative angle is really interesting, especially for critical infrastructure. Mm-hmm. But how does it actually work? What are the key technologies making this universal AI model understand the grid?
Good question. Fundamentally, a grid is a network.
Right.
So the first key tech is graph neural networks, GNNs.
GNNs, okay.
Power grids are naturally graph-like.
Mm-hmm.
You've got buses, stations as nodes, transmission lines as the edges connecting them. GNNs are just built for learning from that kind of structure. They pick up on all the complex relationships.
So they understand the connections.
Exactly. And advanced types, like graph attention networks, are even better at focusing on the important bits.
But you mentioned it uses lots of data types. That sounds complex.
It is. And that's where it gets really interesting. It's designed for multimodal data.
Okay.
It's not just looking at one thing.
Okay.
It's built to ingest and learn from at least four different kinds of data all at once. You've got your tabular data like equipment details.
Specs, yeah.
Time series data loads, generation changing over time, the graph data we just talked about, how everything's connected. And crucially, geospatial data asset locations, maybe weather maps overlaid.
Whoa. Okay, so it's like teaching the AI to not just read the spreadsheet, but also see the map, understand the timeline, and know the physics altogether.
That's a great way to put it. It gets a much more complete picture than traditional tools that often live in silos. It's like giving the grid eyes and ears.
Bringing it all together, how does it learn from all that, though?
Through something called self-supervised learning. It's a pretty smart data strategy.
Self-supervised, meaning it teaches itself.
In a way, yes. It trains on huge amounts of grid data, specifically hundreds of thousands of Solve AC power flow cases.
Solve cases, like simulations that have already been run.
Exactly. Under tons of different conditions, different grid layouts, different loads, generation levels, even simulated outages like N1 or multiple failures, NK.
Okay, where does all that data come from?
They actually built an open data generation toolkit for this called GridFM Data Kit. It can crank out these complex scenarios at scale, even for really big grids.
And how does the self-supervised part work?
It uses this clever mask and reconstruct technique. Basically, you feed it a solved power flow case, but you hide some of the values, maybe a voltage here, line flow there.
Like hiding words in a sentence for a language model.
Precisely. The model's job is to predict those hidden values. By doing that over and over, it's forced to implicitly learn the underlying physics, the rules that govern how power flows, without needing humans to label everything explicitly. It learns the physics by filling in the blanks.
This raises an important question. How does learning to fill in the blanks in a power grid help us understand its physics?
It's very much like those language models learning grammar and meaning by predicting missing words, by constantly trying to reconstruct the correct state of the grid based on partial information. It has to internalize the relationships defined by Ohm's law, Kirchhoff's laws, the properties of transmission lines. It learns the physical constraints inherently.
Okay, that makes sense. So wrapping up the tech side, it's advanced AI deep learning on graphs, sequences blended with deep power system knowledge, all inside an open framework for sharing code, data, and collaborating.
You got it. And IBM's working group with universities, labs, other TSOs, that collaboration is happening right now.
All right, let's shift gears. The why it matters, particularly what's the value for transmission system operators, the TSOs, like Energinet in Denmark, you
Yeah,
mentioned?
TSOs are really feeling the pressure these days.
Huge challenges, right? More renewables coming online fast, new demands from EVs, data centers,
Yeah.
trying to keep the grid stable through all that volatility.
Exactly. And Energinet's mission is ambitious. Get Denmark from around 50% renewable electricity now to 100% by 2030.
Wow, 100% by 2030.
Yeah, that introduces massive variability. They're traditional tools, they're being stretched thin.
So how does GridFM help them specifically?
Okay, let's break down the value first. Faster grid simulations and contingency analysis. TSOs have to constantly check N1 contingencies. What happens if a line or transformer fails?
Standard procedure, but slow.
Can be very slow, yeah. Running thousands of simulations. GridFM, once trained, acts like a super fast surrogate for those solvers. It predicts the outcome almost instantly.
So for Energinet with their complex grid,
they can rapidly see the effect of an outage under different conditions. For you listening, that means quicker decisions to keep the power flowing, fewer brownouts.
okay, faster safety checks. What else?
Second, optimized grid planning and investment. You can fine-tune GridFM for things like optimal power flow, finding the best, safest way to run the grid, or planning for expansion.
So, figuring out where to build new lines.
Exactly. It could quickly estimate where reinforcements are needed, spot future congestion, guide investment decisions. Super important for Energinet integrating huge offshore wind farms.
More scenarios evaluated faster means smarter investments, less overbuilding, maybe.
That's the idea. Potentially big cost savings.
Makes sense.
Third, enhanced renewable integration and forecasting. Managing variability is key. GridFM's multimodal approach lets it pull in weather forecasts, load forecasts, even text data like maintenance schedules.
So it sees the bigger picture for forecasting.
Right. Can improve accuracy for predicting renewable output, load, even potential outages by spotting subtle patterns across all that data for you. Better forecasts mean fewer surprises, less need for expensive reserve power, more efficient use of resources, ultimately lower costs.
Better forecasts, lower bills potentially. Okay, number four.
Fourth, and this could really change daily operations, real-time decision support and automation. Think of an AI assistant for grid operators.
Like an expert system.
But much more powerful. Detecting weird conditions, impending stability problems like voltage collapse, maybe faster than humans or rule-based systems can. Analyzing streams of data from sensors, flagging patterns we might miss. Energen mentioned uncovering insights from untapped data this way.
And suggesting actions.
Yeah, suggesting things like redispatching generation or optimizing equipment settings. It lets TSOs run the grid closer to its limits, but safely, getting more out of the wires we already have. For you, that translates to a more reliable grid, fewer outages, more affordable electricity.
Running closer to the edge, safely. That's powerful. And you mentioned fine-tuning.
Yes, this is really important. Fine-tuning with local data while preserving privacy. A TSO like Energenet can take the general Grid FM model trained on public data,
this model,
and then fine-tune it behind their own firewall using their own private operational data.
So it learns their specific grid.
Exactly. It learns the quirks of their network-specific equipment behavior in Denmark, say without ever exposing sensitive data. It's sharing the innovation, but protecting sovereignty. Crucial for critical infrastructure.
That is a huge benefit. So Energenet thinks this could actually let them delay or avoid building expensive new lines just by operating smarter.
That's part of their thinking, yes. Yeah. Plus, they benefit from all the community improvements, which fits their goal of cutting software costs while boosting quality and speed. It's a real win-win scenario.
Okay, let's try and tie this all together now. Talk about the architecture and how it integrates. You mentioned layers.
Yeah, think of it as a stack. At the bottom, the data, then the pre-training layer, where it learns general grid physics through those self-supervised tasks.
Or the masting.
Then specialized fine-tuning modules on top for specific jobs, contingency analysis, forecasting, whatever. And finally, an API layer to interact with it.
So it's modular, not just one giant black box.
Exactly. Flexible, you plug in the modules you need.
And this modularity, how deep does it go?
Well, they're exploring things like a mixture of experts approach. Maybe you have separate expert models for transmission versus distribution voltage levels or different regions, all working together under one main model.
Interesting.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, this kind of modularity mirrors how power systems are actually built, right? Different levels, different areas. It lets the AI handle that complexity, offering both a unified view and specialized focus.
And software-wise, how does it fit into a TSO's control room? Does it replace their existing systems?
Not necessarily replace, more like enhance. It'll likely be a library or a service that plugs into their existing IT and OT systems.
OT being operational technology.
Right. Think of it integrating with their energy management system, their EMS, or their current PowerFlow software. It acts as a fast helper, providing quick approximations or deeper insights.
And it speaks the right language, uses standard data formats.
Yeah, designed to work with standard formats like PGLib, PandaPower. So it should interface pretty well with the tools TSOs already use.
And it plays nice with other open source tools too.
Absolutely critical. It's part of a bigger open ecosystem. The UN report highlighted this. You could see GridFM taking forecasts from OpenStef, another LF Energy tool.
A forecasting one.
And then predicting the power flows. Or maybe using PowSybil, the open simulation library, to double check or run deeper physics checks on GridFM suggestions. Think of GridFM as this smart AI layer making your digital twin or data hub much more intelligent.
So interoperability and standards are baked in.
Definitely. Open source itself pushes that. It lowers integration costs, avoids vendor lock-in, and it aligns with things like the EU's Energy Data Spaces Initiative, common ways to share data securely. Utilities can contribute to the model's learning without giving away raw proprietary data.
Which gets back to that privacy point.
Exactly. It's all about enabling smart grid orchestration in the end. GridFM is positioned to be that predictive analytical brain, processing inputs from all over the smart grid, suggesting how to coordinate everything optimally, especially important as we get more distributed energy resources like rooftop solar and batteries. It helps manage that complexity.
Okay. Provides the intelligence for orchestration. Now let's put it in context. So how does GridFM stack up against other solutions out there?
Good question. Let's start with other open source grid projects.
Okay.
We mentioned OpenStef. That's really specialized for short-term forecasting. GridFM is much broader and could actually use OpenStack's output as an input.
Right. What about PowSybil?
PowSybil is more of a toolkit for building traditional, detailed physics simulations. GridFM is the AI model that can approximate those simulations really fast. They're complementary. You might use GridFM for speed, PowSybil for deep validation, a hybrid approach.
Makes sense. OpenGEH, Energenet's data hub?
Different focus, again, more about market data exchange, but same open source philosophy driving it, and other LF Energy projects like GXF for device communication or OpenSynth for creating synthetic training data. GridFM sits as the intelligence layer that can use data from OpenSynth and interact with devices via GXF. It connects the pieces.
Got it. So it fills a specific intelligence gap in the open source landscape. What about the big commercial platforms, GE GridOS, Siemens Spectrum Power, Hitachi's ADMS, also specialized tools like AutoGrid for distributed energy?
Right, the established players.
How does GridFM compare there? I mean, open source sounds great, but maybe some listeners worry about support or the pace of development compared to a single company focusing its resources.
That's a fair point to raise. The fundamental difference is proprietary versus open. Commercial platforms are usually closed source. Mm-hmm. You get a polished package, often with dedicated support contracts, which can be appealing. But
the catch.
You risk vendor lock-in. You're tied to their roadmap, their pricing. GridFM is open. That means transparency, community building, full control for the TSO, customizability.
And the support question.
The open source model relies on the community, yes, but also allows TSOs to hire any vendor or use their own teams for support and customization. You're not locked in. ENSOE, the European TSO group, actually points to open source as a way for TSOs to gain agility and avoid that lock-in, achieving innovation more cost-effectively. So it's seen as a strength by many TSOs.
So the trade-off is maybe less immediate out-of-the-box polish for more long-term control and community innovation.
That's a good way to think about it. Plus, continuous innovation from a global pool of contributors.
And quickly, what about foundation models from big tech? Google DeepMind, others, they're looking at energy too, right?
They are, definitely. But GridFM's advantage is being energy community driven, developed by grid experts for grid experts. That ensures domain specificity, addresses data residency concerns, and importantly, it keeps the knowledge and the tool in the public domain, not locked away.
Okay. So summing up the comparison, GridFM's unique spot is being this open, general purpose AI model specifically for grid analytics, broader than other open tools, freer than commercial ones.
Exactly. For you listening, that translates to a versatile solution that grows with the community without tying you to one company. It empowers the whole sector.
Which likely leads to a hybrid approach in practice, right? TSOs using open source like GridFM for core smarts and innovation, maybe interfacing with commercial software for enterprise level stuff where it makes sense.
Very likely. Best of both worlds in many cases.
Okay, we've hit the tech, the operations. Here's where it gets really interesting, zooming out again. Beyond the technical, what are the bigger strategic, maybe even regulatory upsides for TSOs adopting something like GridFM?
The strategic landscape.
Yeah.
The advantages here are really significant.
Lay them out for us.
Okay, first, cost efficiency and collaborative development. It's obvious, but huge. TSOs share the R&D costs. No single utility has to foot the whole bill for something this ambitious.
Like Energinet's OpenGH example you gave.
Exactly. Shared effort gets you high-quality software, often faster and cheaper. It lets the industry tackle these moonshot projects, like foundation models that might be too risky or expensive for one TSO alone.
Okay, shared costs, number two.
Reduced vendor lock-in, increased agility. We touched on this, but strategically, it's massive. Open source means freedom. TSOs aren't tied to one vendor's upgrade cycle or pricing whims. They can customize, switch service providers if needed, adapt much faster to new regulations or market rules. In today's fast-changing energy world, that agility is gold. ESOE agrees.
Freedom and speed. Makes sense. Third.
Third, and this is getting more critical every day, transparency and trust, especially for AI governance.
Right. AI making decisions about the power grid. People need to trust it.
Precisely. An openly developed GridFM means the community, other TSOs, researchers, regulators potentially can scrutinize how it works. No black boxes. This aligns perfectly with emerging AI regulations like the EU AI Act.
Which demands transparency for high-risk AI.
And the grid is definitely high-risk. So this raises an important question about public trust. How can we be confident in AI-driven decisions for critical infrastructure? The open nature of GridFM provides an answer to transparent scrutiny. It builds confidence.
Okay, transparency builds trust and helps with regulation. What else?
Fourth, innovation and talent attraction. Seriously, working on cutting-edge open-source AI for something as vital as the grid, that attracts top talent. Data scientists, power engineers, they want to work on these kinds of impactful collaborative projects.
It creates a buzz.
Yeah, and it fosters partnerships with tech firms like IBM, universities, national labs. It becomes an R&D multiplier.
Good point. Fifth.
Fifth, regulatory alignment and public benefit. Governance, regulators. They're pushing for digitalization, open data, seeing it as a public good. Adopting GridFM just aligns perfectly with those policy goals.
Well, it might smooth the path for investments or approvals.
Could definitely help.
Yeah.
And it aids things like cross-border grid studies, which are vital, especially in places like Europe.
Okay, and finally.
Finally, security and sovereignty. Some people think open source is less secure, but often it's the opposite. More eyes vetting the code can find vulnerabilities faster.
Community security audit, basically.
Kind of. Plus, TSOs can adapt it to their specific cybersecurity policies, and crucially, they can deploy it on their own premises. They maintain digital sovereignty. Less exposure to geopolitical issues or a vendor suddenly pulling support.
Control over your own critical systems. That's huge. Okay, so let's recap this deep dive. GridFM, it really looks like a potential paradigm shift for TSOs, doesn't it?
It really does.
Bringing the power of these foundation models, the AI that's changed language, weather, so many fields, right into the heart of the electric grid. It promises smarter, faster, much more integrated grid management.
Absolutely. And it's about that dual value, remember. Driving efficiency, cost savings, innovation inside the TSO, while also gaining those external benefits like regulatory goodwill, industry leadership, attracting talent. It's a really holistic approach to tackling the energy transition.
The journey's really just starting, right? GridFM V0 is slated for late 2025.
That's the timeline, yeah. Early days, but the groundwork is solid.
But the foundation being laid now, it feels like it could genuinely become a cornerstone of tomorrow's smarter, decarbonized grid, shaping how we get our power for decades.
I think that's the potential, yes. Which leads to a final thought, maybe.
Go for it.
Consider the profound impact of having a shared, transparent AI brain for the grid. A collective intelligence. How might that level of shared understanding not only help keep our lights reliably on, but truly accelerate our shift to a sustainable energy future? Maybe in ways we can only just begin to imagine right now.